Faithful Father, in Jesus' name, you've brought us here, and thank you, God, that you promised you'll perform. You've promised you'll perfect. You promised you'll accomplish. And praise be to God, it's all Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, that's what we're here for. You have chosen us for this. Lord, this message, God, that is your message of the heart of your Son, the depth of that love, the depth of the joy, the depth of the longing. Help us to awaken to it today. God, every life here this morning, let them know how individually you have brought them here today to hear your words. I'm in love with you. Lord, we thank you. We know it must be by your Spirit. We believe you for what you have given. We believe you because you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. We'll pick it up here with such rejoicing and thanksgiving through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost, thinking of a wondrous, wondrous treasure of faith that was given to Abraham regarding the promise that God always told him he would have to be that father of many nations. But it was coming through Sarah, this couple that was 100 years old, that it looked very dire. It looked like there was no way that it could be but God. And here's Abraham and the testimony that is said of him in verse 19. It said, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." That's what it looked like. Abraham looked dead, but he was still alive. And God had promised, but yet the natural eye had not seen it yet. But it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." So where that promise was coming from, even as we know, biologically speaking, there's no other way. They had to have a womb, and it was dead. Yet he staggered not. He didn't even get rocked at the promise of God. I'm sure there were a lot of things that made him shake a bit. But this one thing, this great, great promise, no matter what a scoundrel he'd ever been, no matter what Abraham had done in his life where after he knew the Lord, he didn't believe God fully for it. Maybe like giving up Sarah, "Ooh, I don't want to get killed, so let you just be my sister and we'll kind of play a game here and spare our lives, honey. It's not time to trust God, it's time to trust my wit." But God's still faithful, wasn't he? I'm sure God enjoyed that. Watch me. Watch me what I do, Abraham. That king's going to know real quick. And you know what? He ain't going to touch you either. He should have taken your head for that, Abraham. But I'm God, and I've promised to you. And I'm going to show myself faithful. I know that don't sound like anybody here. But just in case there's one besides your pastor, I appreciate you. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, that's how you stagger. You just don't believe. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God for something he couldn't see, looked done, looked dead. But yet I'm giving God glory because I know. And am being fully persuaded. That's how much he knew. Fully. There wasn't any shaking in this. What he had promised, he was able also to perform. God's words are not empty. His promises are yea and amen. Believe them. Believe them. And I love this, and I love this encouragement. When everything looks wrong, that's when it's perfectly right with God. Do you hear that? You should look up and tell him, thank you, Jesus. When everything looks wrong, that's when it is perfectly right with God. When everything looks off, when everything looks dire, that's when it's right with God. It's right when it can't be us, and it's got to be him. Amen? See, this is how we planned every single life in here. As a matter of fact, this is the Word of God, and that's how he planned every single life out here. It's not going to look right. That's what faith is all about. It just doesn't look right. But God. And that's how he planned this, brothers and sisters. That's how he planned our lives, your life, my life, all of our lives. We are going to live one way, and that's by hope. Hope. Go on over to Romans 8. We're going to live by hope. And we started off by hope. Really? Well, look what it says there in the 24th verse. For we are saved by hope. Amen. Not hoping you're saved, hoping in who? Hoping in what? In his blood. And you got to get it out of your mind. This isn't man's hope, if the blood. No. Hope is, praise God, what it did. I may not see it. But it's my evidence. Praise God. That's the beauty of faith. It doesn't go by sight. It goes by believing the Word of God. And that's what God's hope is. And as it says there, and we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen, what does it say? That's not hope. Seeing, that's easy. When you can't see it, that's God. That's God. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen? And we're waiting, aren't we? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, does it? But we know. But we know. And we know because why? Because we hope. And we abound in hope by the Holy Ghost, who takes that love and sheds it abroad in our hearts. Because my hope is in how he loves me. My hope is not in how I love him. My hope is how he loves me. Now, see, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't need to hope if everything just lined up perfectly in our lives, would it? If everything lined up perfectly in these guys and girls' lives here in this Word of God, they wouldn't have been written in the Word of God. But God knew. God knew. God knew I wouldn't need hope if everything was just rosy and nothing shook the tree. But you know what? I think all of us have had experience with God. God loves to shake your tree. And he does. He rocks your boat. He does all those things. Praise the Lord. Did that ship have to have big waves and all of that when Jesus was out there with him and sleeping in the boat? Oh, Lord, you got to get out here. Be still. Huh? Come on. He shows us he's God. But see, brothers and sisters, he does this because he doesn't want us just to hope. He wants us to abound in hope. And I really want to have you hear this. You look up this truth of this meaning. And yes, these are words, but words are so powerful when they're the Word of God. But this word hope means to abide continually in hope. And that means to abide continually in confident expectation. That's what hope means, confident expectation. Not maybe expectation, confident. Confident, 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 confident. What can I be confident in? God, God's Word. God's love, which is unconditional. God's love, which is forever. God's love, which I can never be separated from. Amen? God's love, which even is the power and gives me faith to work. That's why God so loved. God so loved. Every bit of power is in my love, which is my grace, which is my mercy. Every bit. Always coming back to that. Always staying in that. Nothing ever is built up into the masterpiece except for that truth in love that we grow up into Him in all things. Have to have all of this truth, but seeing it in the glory of the depth of the love wherewith we are loved, that's how we grow up into Him in all things. That's how we don't just kind of bump along as Christians. That's why there's ones, by the grace of God, that have a joy unspeakable. Sure, we hurt. Sure, we have our moments. Sure, we have these different things. But there's a resilience because hope comes in. Hope comes in. And it's a confident expectation. It's a confident expectation in the Word of God that what He says is true, what God says He means, that this is forever faithful to my life. It's not hit and miss. It's not something that I earn. It's already been given. His faithfulness, complete faithfulness, is always there for us. He said, even when we believe not, He abides faithful. He abides faithful for you. You didn't feel like coming to church today. He still abides faithful for you. Yes, He does. See, and that's the chastening of our heart. It's not in a guilt or that type of thing. It's just in a thankfulness to God. That's when you grow up. You're just thankful because you realize, you know what? You're not faithful. You realize there's nothing good about you, and every bit of goodness is God. And that's where this joy comes in. And I thank the Lord because then He transforms in my life, and then good comes out. Every good gift is from above. Thank you, Lord. Then I have something. Then I have something, praise God, to give because it's Him. And I'll tell you what. You can know something. You could talk about something. But that don't mean you have it. I had a lot of professors like that. Oh, they could tell me all these different. Did you ever do that? Well, no. You know, with all those ideas but nowhere to go? Amen. It's important, brothers and sisters, you got to go through it. You got to see it. You got to be able to describe it. That's why Joshua and Caleb were so special. That's why you're so special. He put that same desire in your heart. And He did. You may not feel it today. You may be here for the first time. He's given you this word. You may have been here a long time. I don't know, and never really said, I don't know. Yes, this is it. God knows what He's doing. He could have put you in a different meeting. He could have put you in a different assembly. He could put you anywhere. But see, God's divine. If God can specifically put the moon where it needs to be and the sun where it needs to be and every planet exactly where it needs to be, so they're doing this and they're doing this and they don't do that, you think He can put you where you need to be perfect in your orbit and where you need to be with God? Are you not a little bit more valuable to Him? Something of this universe He spoke and it was there. And yet with you, praise God, for you to get where you're at by God's grace, He had to give His Son to die, to be made sin for. You don't think that He might have a little bit more invested in you? You see how valuable the people of God are? Don't get lost in this world stuff. Get lost in the love of Jesus. Get lost in it. Praise God. You'll find what you'll find. Hallelujah. You'll find true wealth. But see, brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord wants us to have, is this confident expectation that He will do it. The Word of God tells us so sweetly, because we're looking for the appearing of the Lord, aren't we? Amen. And we're loving the appearing of the Lord. Amen. And we're believing in the appearing of a bridegroom. You talk about loving. That's the height of love. That's that first love, loving His appearing. Well, I want to love Him as the bridegroom because that is the height of love. Praise the Lord. So I love that appearing. And it says in the Word of God, He that shall come will come and will not tarry. But I also thank the Lord, that's for everything in our lives. Everything. Now, Jesse, with patience, wait for it. Don't get unruly, son. Don't get fussy. Don't be like flesh. Let Christ in you live. Come on, it's there. It's there. Let it live. Now, I want you to think about here with what we read about Abraham. It looked like it was a no way. You ever been in that place? Doesn't say that he said this at all, but I'll just kind of expound a little bit on maybe some of the ways that I feel. Well, maybe I heard God wrong. Huh? Man, this don't look good, Sarah. Whew. Maybe he meant something different. Well, that they already tried back there with Hagar. Amen, but God still willed it, didn't he? He sure did. Had to be that way. Had to be that way. See, God knows even how to use, believe it or not, your unbelief for his glory. Are we a meeting that believes Romans 8:28? You begin to really see the faithfulness of God for your life. That will change you into that sun glory. And it will. So, maybe he meant something different. I don't know. My flesh sure doesn't look right. Amen. Listen to that. That's basically what it's saying about Abraham. He's 100 years old. I'm supposed to be a daddy. This 100-year-old woman, she's got a dead womb. That flesh don't look right. No offense. But that's what it's saying. But that promise was going to come through that old, let's just say it, dead, rotted. It was dead. It wasn't coming through. According to man, but according to God, that's it. That's exactly the one. That's you with your promise. That is exactly you with your promise. That dead, rotten, whatever camel that stinketh, all these different things. Praise be to God. That's you. That's you. And I get the precious privilege to look at you as we are encouraged in this wonderful word of God together, quickening us. Praise the Lord. Lord, I do. I know that's me. I know that's me. How many times I've seen that dead guy, that promise that was given, but it's just, it's over. I thank you visited with me, Lord. It's been a good time, but man, that's when he just brings you so tight. And he looks into your eyes and he says, oh, honey, it's you. It's always been you. We all don't look like Josephs. I'm not envious of him. I love Joseph and his testimony. I think we've all been there at different times in different ways with every one of the cast of characters, because you know what? They are the Word of God. That's what's written. Amen? And isn't he authoring, finishing our faith? So what does that have to be? It has to be the Word. So all of these things, good, bad, and different, they're written in all of us because of the Word of God. And so, but here you have Joseph. You'd look at him and look at him through the truth. You're seeing this very pristine life. That looks like one that would reign. Amen. Didn't seem to really make a bad decision. You know, ones try to criticize him for telling his brothers his dreams and things of that nature. I don't think that's something to criticize. That was the Word of God that was ministering to his life. I pray it was given to them in love. They sure didn't receive it that way, did they? It's time for us to kill our younger brother. His dad got after him and said, you know, you keep those thoughts to yourself. But there's something about that ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ that sometimes you can't keep down. I don't know. But yet, God still being faithful, God gave Joseph circumstances that made it seem impossible. Amen. And, you know, sometimes, and you thank the Lord. I thank God that Joseph denied those advances of that woman. I thank God of all the things that Joseph testified to. But it's not written in there, but was Joseph also getting a little puffed up? You know, there was a time when he was in prison. Well, my time is up now. And was it because I'm going to be released, basically, is what he was thinking in his head. You know, oh yeah, I told the dreams, everything's good. Now you go back and you tell him. God divinely laid this out. Now it's all lining up. I see it now. Right? And Lord, I've trusted you. So because I trusted you, like I did, I'm ready. You're not ready. And you're not going to be ready until I tell you it's ready. Take us in there, Lord. Take us deep. So, we see that as Joseph's life went on there in Egypt, it looked like he was going to die. It looked like he was just going to be a slave the rest of his life. But God's mercy was with that young man, just like it is with ours from day one, brothers and sisters. And hope had to make the masterpiece. Hope. Not events as he thought they would lead up to. Not events that, Lord, I am living my life before you and I'm trusting you. But that's still not the reason that God is faithful. I know we're shaking our head. It's just so hard to trust God like that. I always hear Brother Hill, as his sister told him, Duluth, you got to quit preaching that much grace. Them people are going to go out there and think they can just do anything. Well, now they'll get somewhere with God. But see, what happens is you don't want to do anything. You just want to love. We're back to how we started the service. That's the love of the Holy Ghost. When you begin to really get enlightened eyes to see how lovely and this plan of God and how marvelous this life of Jesus Christ lives in you. That we are now seated. We are now seated in the heavens in Christ. Now. Right now, the sons of God. David, he had a beautiful beginning, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Oh, my. A man of God. He was humble, a shepherd boy, talented, a man after God's own heart. But yet God, before the foundation of the world, knew this perfect heart. But he'll also have such imperfect flesh. He'll make such bad, imperfect, horrible decisions. And I will build the masterpiece of hope in him. Nobody talked about the hope in God like David did. Except until we got the Apostle Paul. But it's divine. And that hope in the Lord caused David to be the greatest of kings. Caused David to be the benchmark. Every king that would come after him. It was always the benchmark. Were they perfect as their father David? Perfect. Perfect, perfect. It sure didn't look like it on the outward appearance. But once again, God is after that heart. Think about your life. He loves hope, doesn't he? That's your life. It sure doesn't look like I got any hope. And that's when you hope. And that's why God, he drew your life like that. You're not hopeless. You're hopeful. You're a vessel full of and overflowing with hope. And it's because of this truth. Finally, we can't go through a sermon without mentioning Peter, can we? Especially in light like this. So mighty, so glorious. God anointed him to be the apostle to the Jew. But yet, of any Christian reading through the Word of God, he might take the cake as the greatest failure of any Christian that's ever been written of in the Word of God. Let's just be honest. The things Jesus had to say to him directly, face to face, and in a way it didn't even faze Peter because he was so full of himself. No, think of that. Oh, well, I'm so faithful. Because, you know, I'm just faithful. I'm not going to leave you. There's no way. Mm-mm. Nope. These other ones, I really love them, Lord. But have you seen Andrew? But you know what I'm saying. He was just observing all the other ones. And right then, because of that heart, that's when Jesus spoke to him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." See, that kind of talk, that kind of attitude, huh? Somehow I'm the benchmark? Whoa. Whoa. Comparing others to me? Wow. God help us. Amen. He said, the devil's going to sift you like wheat, son. Oh, yeah. Didn't faze him. Peter, you're even going to deny me. I don't even think we got to 24 hours. Three times. Last time the Lord was right there walking through. I don't know him. But God. Peter never could come to that understanding. Peter could never come to that grace that God wanted to have him take. Honey, it's all me, Peter. And I chose you. I chose you when I called you, when you were over there by them nets and the fishing. And I've called you, son. I've chosen you as one of my 12. And I'm not going to forsake you, honey. And he told him right when all that back and forth began there, after he told him, the devil's going to sift you, but I've prayed for you. Do you know how the Lord has prayed for us? He's prayed for us. And I know all this stuff that we've done and how unfaithful we've been flashing through our minds and hearts in ways. Honey, this isn't something to just say, oh God, I'm just such a wreck. No, it's time to look up and just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm just like this fella. He chose me. He chose me. And so here we are, brothers and sisters. He's going to build that masterpiece of hope in him. Peter, the masterpiece of hope is in you. It's not hope in your faithfulness or your knowledge or all the things that you've experienced. Your hope better be in my grace. You want victory, it's hope in my mercy. As we close this out, Romans 15, 13, it says, now the God of hope. Think about what we've read today. Think about how we rejoice in this hope. Now the God of hope. Fill you with all joy. I want all joy. How about you? And man, the next one, oh Lord, I want it so bad. And you're giving it to me. His peace. But the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And here's why. That ye may abound in hope. Abound in the God of hope. Is your God the God of hope? Confident expectation? Will I abound in the hope of my God of hope? I abound in confident expectation of my God who is all my confident expectation. We abound here together, don't we? Because we abound in hope. And we're talking about the hope, praise God, of the bride for the Lamb of God. The bride for the Lamb of God. And it is our confident expectation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, in Jesus' name we come and so thank you for this time to just be immersed in your love. The beauty of your grace, this mercy that truly clothes us with all the riches of your glory. Lord, we thank you for this. We stand amazed. This is the awe of God. This is when you stand before you in this fear of God, just in awe of this great love wherewith we are loved. And Lord, we're here and we just ask you in Jesus' name, increase our faith in your Son. Increase your faith in this beloved, wondrous Lamb of God. Increase our faith in the love of the bridegroom to us. That bridal love. This bridal first love that the Apostle Paul, you chose him. You chose him to bring this message to us. That we would be partakers of the grace that you had given him. The grace that he had seen. The grace that he received. Partakers of his grace. Lord, help us to walk fully in it. Help us not to veer from it. Help us to just, again, grow in this joy and peace and believing that comes by abounding in the hope of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost who takes this love and sheds it abroad in our hearts. The love that is shed abroad gives us abounding hope. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.